What's good or not so good about Governor Walker's proposed budget? We'll ask our guests and you during this state budget edition of Our Big Question. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8.5 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, February 4th. We'll discuss the proposed cuts to state spending and some increases, and what the plan might mean for jobs, education, roads, the environment, and public broadcasting, and much more. And we'll ask you in our online poll and in a sound off at the end of the hour, which of the following best describes how you feel about Governor Walker's proposed state budget? Do you generally support it, generally oppose it, or are you not sure? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Well, let me welcome our guests. Very happy to have with us Dale Cuinga, a Republican state representative from Brookfield. He is vice chair of the legislature's Joint Finance Committee. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
And also with us, John Erpenbach, a Democratic state senator from Middleton. He also serves on the Joint Finance Committee. Good morning.
Hi, Joy.
Well, thanks to both of you for being with us after the governor unveiled his budget in the budget address last night. Let me just get a general statement from both of you. Representative Cuinga, do you generally support Governor Walker's proposed state budget?
Well, the state budget is over 1,800 pages. Took a picture of it last night. We'll be posting that to social media here shortly. And the summary itself is 98 pages. So just diving into the details right now, or we will be diving more into the details going forward. But what's really great about the process is, as the legislature, we go on a roadshow, we go around the state, we meet with constituents, we take phone calls and emails. And so this is really just the start of a process of taking a product from the governor and listening to the public and making adjustments to that. So, there's some things I really like to hear from last night from the governor: property tax freezes, having tuition freeze in place to keep tuition affordable in Wisconsin, more money for domestic violence, rainy day fund at an all-time high. So, you know, there's a lot of things to celebrate. There's also parts of the budget where we want to hear more from the public, and, you know, some of us may have concerns on portions of it. But, you know, this is a five-month journey, and looking forward to making some adjustments and then seeing what the public's input is.
All right, and we'll ask more about that as we go along. But Senator Erpenbach, do you think there's some things to celebrate in this new budget proposal?
Actually, not really. No, I love the idea to hear Dale talk about the process and how that's going to work, and that's great. Public input on anything, especially the state budget, is extremely important. But overall, the speech, I thought. I guess the best way to put it is the governor seemed a little bit distracted between, you know, being here in Wisconsin with an eye on Washington, D.C. and Iowa and so on. The cuts to the university are very well documented. But basically, you know, just a little snippet of the speech talking about Act 10 and how that, you know, improved reading scores, graduation rates is a little disturbing, at the same time turning around and lifting the caps off of the school choice program and making it statewide, basically, so anybody can participate. To me, is very ironic. You're saying one good thing about public schools and then turning around and cutting them off at the knees financially by not really giving them any money at all. So there's all sorts of other things that in the state budget that we've seen so far that obviously we question. But at the same time, it's, you know, it's our responsibility as Democrats to provide a reasonable, rational alternative that actually reflect the priorities of the state of Wisconsin and not just somebody running for a national office.
Representative Cuinga, what are the areas in the budget that you want to hear more from the public about?
Well, first of all, I mean, I think it's a little bit disappointing that Senator Erpenbach, I mean, says there's nothing in the budget he supports. I mean, there's more money for domestic violence in this budget. I mean, I think that's something that's not a Democrat-Republican issue. That's something that I think reasonable people would say, yeah, that's a good idea. We should take care of those people that are in domestic violence situations. So, there's a lot of things that we should celebrate. I mean, right now, the middle class is being squeezed in America. This is not Wisconsin-specific, and they're getting squeezed on taxes. And so that's why property taxes are held steady. They're getting squeezed on the high cost of tuition. And that's I mean, it's amazing. There's over $1 trillion in student debt in this country. And so, you know, we're actually putting our money where our mouth is and actually freezing tuition and making college more affordable for Wisconsin residents. And it's great. I had, people in my district come up to me and say, you know what? You know, 4 years ago, we were really nervous about our taxes going up. We have two kids in the UW system. And based on your guys' reforms, we really feel like we're going to make it the next 4 years. And so, you know, we're really hearing back from real people like that and saying, hey, we're getting through this. We're having better jobs. We're getting paid more. Wisconsin's ACT scores are up. Our graduation rate is up. Pretty much every single metric today, education, the economy, fiscal health, are better shape than when we took over the reins 4 years ago.
Senator Erpenbach?
Well, we're still missing the bus on economic growth, and nationally the middle class is doing a little bit better than they are in Wisconsin. But let's just talk about the UW proposal here in a minute. Yeah, the tuition freeze might be a good thing for parents, and it really is, and students to make college more affordable today. But a $300 million cut to the system and then a tuition freeze for the next 2 years and then cutting loose the UW system will mean one thing. You can't talk about how high student debt is when you know 2 years from now the Regents won't have a choice, and you're going to be looking at a 20 to 25% tuition increase alone. And that's just going to increase student debt even more. So there are priorities in this budget that the governor laid out that we think are wrong for Wisconsin when it comes to public education, when it comes to the UW system, and some other things that we've been able to find so far. But again, as Dale pointed out at the top of the show, it's a long process. There will be public input, and it's our job, as Dale said, to make sure that we listen to what the public has to say and then incorporate the ideas that we agree with. And I think the public, when they show up to testify on the governor's budget, they're coming from very specific areas and very specific viewpoints and tend to be experts in that area more so than we are. So, I'm going to hold Dale to his word that we do listen to the public and make the changes that need to be made to the state budget in order to make sure that it works for, you know, as many people in the state as possible.
And Representative Coinga, what about if you freeze tuition for 2 years while imposing a $300 million cut on the UW system, tuition's going to have to go up after the freeze is lifted?
Yeah, there's nothing saying that 2 years from now that we're going to totally say, hey, yeah, rock and roll, do whatever you want with tuition. I mean, the legislature, even if it is an authority, we still always reserve the right to go back and change tuition if it's getting out of control. So I really don't feel like we're losing any control there. So, I mean, I think we're in good shape. And those cuts to the UW system, I mean, those weren't done in a vacuum. The governor has had many conversations with the regents and the chancellors and Ray Cross. And based on those conversations, he feels as if they could absorb these cuts. And so, I mean, the UW system is like a small state. I mean, it's a very large system with $1 billion in revenue. And so there is the ability in the UW system to absorb some of these cuts. And really, the university system's changing. It's really going more towards a competency-based system. There's efficiencies by doing some consolidation. And Wisconsin, just historically, which is a good thing, it's one of our strengths, we have a very robust, large UW system. And when you really look at this budget, what's remarkable is we have more revenue that's expected to come in each and every year, more than any time during the Doyle administration. So 2013 revenue was an all-time high. 2014 revenue was a little below that. 2015 is in between that. And then going on to 2016 is the most revenue we've ever had in Wisconsin again. What we're seeing is not a revenue problem. What we're seeing is the amount of money going towards Medicaid is exploding. We have more people on Medicaid in Wisconsin than we've ever had in Wisconsin history. And the cost per member of each person on Medicaid is higher. And so really, this is an issue that's not specific to Wisconsin. It's in all 50 states. It's a federal issue. And really what we need to do is, this isn't just Wisconsin, this is national. We need to figure out this issue, because we could have our cake and eat it too if we could figure out the Medicaid and at a federal level the Medicare issue, because the numbers are just amazing, and it's really putting pressure on K-12 budgets. It's putting pressures on the ability to lower taxes, putting pressure, like you see, on the university system. And so these are some significant issues that you're seeing with additional Medicaid spending that we need to figure out.
Senator Erpenbach.
Well, on the Medicaid issue, we are saying no to federal money, that money that Wisconsinites send out to Washington, D.C. In fact, we are the only Midwest state to say no, and the governor brags about that. There are millions of dollars sitting out there that Wisconsin taxpayers rightfully should get. And if we capture that Medicaid expansion, that eases our budgets, as Dale pointed out, in K-12 education and elsewhere in the state budget. So it's something where you can't talk about the amount of people on Medicaid. They're there because, not so much because they choose it, because economically they qualify, which is a whole nother issue. But to say no to the Medicaid expansion just for a national political platform, you know, is thrown, you know, thousands of people who would otherwise be qualified for a Medicaid expansion, just, you know, basically throwing them out the door. So the Medicaid, hopefully the Republican leadership and the rest of the Republicans in the legislature will be open to an honest discussion as far as the positive impact taking the expansion would have on our state budget.
That's State Senator John Erpenbach. He's a Democrat from Middleton. We are also talking with Dale Coinga, a Republican state representative from Brookfield. They are both on the legislature's Joint Finance Committee and will be reviewing Governor Walker's new state budget proposal and holding hearings around the state to get your input. We're getting your input during this edition of The Big Question. What do you think? What questions do you have about the proposed state budget for the state of Wisconsin? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking with two state lawmakers, one Republican, one Democrat, who sit on the legislature's Joint Finance Committee, and we are discussing the proposed state budget and what it means for the state of Wisconsin, and we are welcoming your questions and your views, too, at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We will talk more about how the budget treats education, including a $300 million cut to the UW system. We'll also talk a bit about a $5 million cut to the Educational Communications Board, which oversees public broadcasting. We'll talk about Governor Walker's proposal to lift the cap on voucher school enrollment and eliminating funding for the Common Core aligned education tests, and much more. Is there anything you want to talk about? And before we go to the phones, we will get Representative Coinga to respond to Senator Erpenbach's comments about the governor rejecting federal funding for Medicaid.
Yeah, and you're going to hear that a lot. And I think of one of my favorite movies is Good Will Hunting, and there's a scene in that movie where the girlfriend of Matt Damon screams out, "What's your fascination with the money?" And I want to scream that out every time I hear this. What's the fascination with this money? Because if you look at how we did in Wisconsin, Wisconsin is the only state, as Governor Walker pointed out last night, where there's no gap in coverage. Essentially, everyone from below poverty all the way up to four times poverty has one or two options in Wisconsin. They either have free Medicaid or they receive a federal subsidy, a refundable tax credit, which goes to pay for private insurance. And so essentially what the decision the governor made for individuals between 100% of poverty and 133% of poverty, instead of that money going into Madison and purchasing Badger Care for those folks, those individuals are getting that money directly to them. It's going directly to them to buy their own insurance, commercial insurance on the exchange, which generally is a better insurance. So, you know, you're going to hear a lot about this, accept the money, accept the money. We are accepting money. We're just accepting the money in the form of a tax credit to the individual to purchase coverage that makes sense for them and their families.
Senator Erpenbach?
Well, a couple of things on that. First of all, the Republicans are tripping over themselves trying to defund the Affordable Care Act. And right now in front of the Supreme Court, there's a case dealing with the tax credit. And if that goes the wrong way, then that tax credit is gone. What we're talking about specifically with the Medicaid money and the actual dollar amount that people are dealing with, if you're making, you know, I think it's over $8 an hour, you're not going to qualify for Badger Care. We can take that expansion of Badger Care. We can get people covered under Badger Care. We can loosen the budget deficit that we have here a little bit and provide some relief to where it's needed in the state budget if we were to accept it. But secondly, and more importantly, it's not like the federal government is taking that money and cutting their spending. That's going to other states, and the money is there. And then one of the things that the governor talked about, which was very misleading, is that we don't know if it's going to be there. It is there, and he knows it. But rather than take what we believe is rightfully ours when it comes to federal funding that the federal government owes Wisconsin taxpayers. The governor is saying no, but he's doing more so, at least in my opinion, Joy, just to make a political point, to score political points, in whether it be Iowa or other states that he happens to be spending a little bit of time in right now. In other words, he's trying to be more conservative than the conservative governors out there who are talking about running for president at the risk of, you know, 60-some thousand people here in the state who would otherwise qualify for Badger Care, and that's wrong.
I want to get back to some of the specific proposals in the budget address, but I do want Representative Cuenca to respond to the criticism that the governor is more focused on running for president, and that's influencing many of his proposals in the state budget.
Yeah, I mean, I've worked directly with the governor on the budget. I've, you know, unfortunately found out some of the portions of the budget in the newspaper, but I know that his team has been working tirelessly on the policy. I know that the policy they believe in. So, I mean, I don't see presidential talking points here. I mean, I think that these are largely state issues, and he's doing what's in the best interest of Wisconsin. And we're going to go in those details. And essentially, when this process is over, like, we will also own the budget. We will go through that process. And, you know, I can't really point to something and say, oh, he's doing that because he's running for president. So I know it's kind of the bar stool talk, like, that's probably an easy pop shot to take a man who's obviously running for president. But, you know, we're going to take the policy at its merits. And, I don't specifically know what policy people are referring to as far as those are presidential policies.
Here's an email from Wendy. She says, I can see and hear Minnesota from my house. They are investing in their public education and help for those attending the UW or the university. Unemployment is 3.6%. They have no voucher schools, but vouchers only to help those in need. We can see that the goal here is to privatize everything. Are we trying to privatize everything, Representative Cuenca?
No, we are not.
For example.
Privatize everything. So there's no privatization of our state parks. There's no privatization of our public schools. There's no privatization. I mean, we're providing alternatives if your public school is not serving you. So if you go to Milwaukee, which is my backyard, my community, I mean, there's the majority of schools are failing to educate students. I mean, what do we want to do about that? Are we just going to accept the status quo? And so one of the things the governor does in this budget, he creates a statewide charter authorizing board. Now, this is important because if you look at charter schools were started, talking about Minnesota, charter schools were started by Democrats out of Minnesota. In New York City, de Blasio is against charter schools, but Governor Cuomo, Democrat, is for charter schools. President Obama is for charter schools. Here in Wisconsin, there's not a single Democrat, a pro-charter school Democrat. We have all de Blasio Democrats. And charter schools should not be partisan issues. These are public schools that outperform public schools on average and provide great alternatives in many cases, or provide specific education which people value. So, I mean, I don't see why we have to have so much partisanship on education. I think it should simply be that if you think that there's better standards or better values that you want to see for your child's education, why not allow them to have the ability to choose a school?
Now, what's wrong with that, Senator Erpenbach?
Well, I think we're more privatized than we were before, and certainly the mechanisms to take, for example, K-12 education and really, really privatize it, the mechanisms to do that are there. And I think the governor took a pretty big step yesterday by proposing just eliminating the caps on the choice schools. And so in the end, what it comes down to is our tax dollars go out the door, and when they go to a private entity, we have less accountability or no accountability whatsoever. And what Wendy was pointing out was that just the differences in priorities right now between Wisconsin and Minnesota. And economically, Minnesota is doing a little bit better. Their job growth is certainly better than ours here in Wisconsin, and they are investing more in their K-12 education in their university system there. So again, it's a matter of priorities, and we strongly feel that what the governor proposed last night, and this is just the governor's proposal, it's not the legislature's overall, do not reflect the priorities here in the state of Wisconsin. There's less accountability. There are severe cuts to Wisconsin's economic engine here in the UW system severe cuts, and so borrowing for, to pay for transportation, we have it. Both sides of the aisle know we have a transportation issue, and what the governor is proposing doesn't fix the problem, doesn't kick the can down the road. In all likelihood, it actually makes it even worse a couple of years from now. So there isn't really any big bold ideas here that the governor is talking about in other states across the country. What it is it's kind of a slash and burn to. The Wisconsin idea, you know, it's essentially not doing anything for K-12 education. It's borrowing to pay for our roads.
We'll get to more on the roads in a moment, but we have Mark in Mineral Point who's been waiting. Hi, Mark.
Yeah, good morning. I wanted to return to, I think, the major part of this budget proposal, and that is the transformation of the status of the UW system. And the term flexibility has been used, and I would suggest that the term flexibility is a linguistic red herring. And I say that along with many of my co-workers in the UW system, because when you do what they're proposing to do, to shift all the power to the administrators in the UW system, you're putting the foxes in charge of the chicken coop, because the part of the reason that we have so many problems with failed searches, that we can't hire anybody because our salaries are so low in terms of teaching. The part of the reason that class sizes are going up, graduation rates are increasingly a problem. All these problems have to do with the squandering of money. Two things. The defunding, which started way before Scott Walker took office, but it's gotten worse under him. And also the misappropriation of funds by administrators who are creating huge numbers of what we call a Category A academic staff.
You know, this is getting a little bit too deep for us, Mark. So you're concerned that the administrators are going to have the power and it's going to take away shared governance from the faculty?
It's going to make things even worse. The abuses we've seen so far with these administrators are going to get far worse because the shared governance is taken out of the state statute. This is a huge mistake.
All right. So is this a huge mistake, Representative Coinga?
Well, this is kind of, I mean, Mark definitely knows what he's talking, I mean, he sounds like he's well informed, appreciate that, and Mark, I encourage you to reach out to our office to hear more about that. You know, I think one of the parts of Mark's statement was that the administrators have spent a lot of money and been not the best stewards of taxpayers' resources, and that's under the current system. I mean, that's what he is saying is this case now, and so when there was conversations between the governor's office and some of the leadership at UW, there was a consensus. There was, you know, all of those specifics need to work out. There was comments from Ray Cross that he feels like they could find the monies to absorb these without sacrificing the quality of education. And so, those conversations have been had, and Ray Cross has made those statements. And obviously, it's going to take some work. But it's also taken work for families to, you know, afford education and families to get through the last 4 or 5 years as well. So, I mean, we're going to figure that out, and essentially we're going to hear this from the UW system. I am in contact with chancellors frequently and members of the board and students more frequently than all those combined. And based on that feedback, we're going to see what we could do. And essentially we are very committed to making Wisconsin affordable in Wisconsin. And we've put our money where our mouth is by making sure that we have 4 years continuously now of tuition freezes. And, I mean, that's look at what we've done. 4 years of tuition freeze, I mean, that's very unique in Wisconsin. It really shows where our priorities are.
Senator Erpenbach?
It, you know, 4 years of tuition freezes and over $500 million in cuts, you know, $250 million in the last budget and a proposed $300 million in this budget isn't going to do anything to make college more affordable. It does an awful lot to get toward the actual quality in the end here that kids will be getting at our system schools around the state, and the quality, if we go down this path, won't be very good. But getting back to Mark's overall issue here, there's about 34,000 University of Wisconsin system employees throughout the state. And when you move them from their current status right now as actual true public employees and put them into a situation where they're under the employee of an authority board, for example, a lot of people don't know this. While they might be public employees, they're no longer covered under either state or federal labor laws because state and federal labor laws don't recognize employees who are under the auspices of an authority board. You know, it's UW hospitals and clinics. They have, you know, I don't know how many thousands. I want to say about 5,000, maybe more employees. All of their employees there are not covered under any state or federal labor law because they are employees of the authority board. So when you talk about giving the UW flexibility, and when you talk about, you know, cutting them loose from oversight here in the state of Wisconsin, there's good things about that and there's bad things about that. But when you tie their hands with a tuition freeze, they will not have a choice. They will have to, on top of the cuts, they will have to drastically raise tuition just to kind of keep doors open in certain campuses around the state. And you get back to the idea of what generations of Wisconsinites have enjoyed here is a strong K-12 public education system and a very strong UW system that gives kids opportunities if they choose to take them. You know, you graduate from a Wisconsin school, whether it be Superior or Madison or Milwaukee or wherever, that says a lot. That carries a lot of weight around the rest of the country, and why we're going after the UW system the way we are is beyond me, and really attacks what the very Wisconsin idea is and really attacks our largest economic engine here in the state.
I need to say at this point that Wisconsin Public Radio is a service of the Educational Communications Board and the University of Wisconsin Extension. And I am an employee of the University of Wisconsin Extension. We receive funding from the University of Wisconsin Extension and the Educational Communications Board. And so any cuts to either agency or would affect Wisconsin Public Radio and me. But I need to ask maybe Representative Coinga first, any reaction to the proposed $5 million cut to the Educational Communications Board?
Well, my first reaction when I saw that, I was like, great, I'm on their show tomorrow. That will work out perfectly. So I was like, that's great. So, you know, it goes back to what I mentioned earlier, is we have in this budget, there's over $663 million in addition to Medicaid spending, $663 million. And so essentially what it's coming down to is this Medicaid piece of our budget, and once again, this is not unique to Wisconsin, Medicaid costs are exploding. And what is it squeezing out? It's squeezing out our country's universities. It's squeezing out the ability to put more money into K-12 education, our ability to lower taxes. I mean, every single priority that the left and right have, it's squeezing our ability. And in this case, I mean, what it is, it's once again, is public radio is obviously being squeezed by more money for Medicaid. And so I'm a fan of public radio. I'm also, you know, I've donated in the past to the Milwaukee Public Television with four kids, 6, 5, 2, and 1. We're big fans. I just appreciate the programming you have. And so I think what's going to happen is we're going to, first of all, listen to the public once again. And so if we hear from folks saying, hey, we want more money for public radio over K-12 increases or take money away from Medicaid to fund that, I mean, we're here to hear that feedback and make adjustments. I am positive that the value of your product will definitely lead to more fundraising and innovation to get to that budget gap. But, yeah, these are the problems that we're dealing with when we're looking at $663 million in additional Medicaid spending that is largely federally mandated for the next 2 years.
So, Senator Erpenbach, nothing personal. There are just other priorities to public media.
Well, if you're not there, I could have slept in today. But hopefully you will and the rest of your crew will be there for a long, long time to come. The value of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public TV to Wisconsin is extremely important. You know, if you think about it, it's really the only consistent thing on the air from one end of the state to the other. That being said, you know, Dale, with all due respect, you can't blame Medicaid and then turn down $315 million in this budget cycle of Medicaid money from the federal government. There are so many things in the state budget. A lot of it we haven't even seen yet because the budget is so new that I can't believe that we can't figure out a way to nix some of the governor's proposals and find the money for public radio and public TV. You know, it's public. This is our investment, whether it be public radio and TV, our schools, our university system. You know, the governor's bending over backwards to borrow money to build a road, but cutting when it comes to what really truly counts here in Wisconsin, whether it be the UW system or not even really doing anything for K-12 education. So I got to believe we'll find a way to provide the funding that's necessary. You know, hopefully it'll be done on a bipartisan basis.
We'll pick up on the transportation budget and the borrowing to build roads after we check the latest news. This is The Big Question. We are talking about Governor Walker's proposed state budget with two members of the Joint Finance Committee. John Erpenbach is a Democratic state senator from Middleton. He serves on the Joint Finance Committee. And Dale Coinga is a Republican state representative from Brookfield. He is vice chair of the legislature's Joint Finance Committee. What do you want them to know about how you feel about Governor Walker's proposed state budget? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We also have an online poll online at wpr.org/joy, and you can vote on how you feel about Governor Walker's proposed state budget. This is the Ideas Network. This is The Big Question on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking with two state lawmakers and with you if you have a question or a view on the proposed state budget at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We are talking with Republican State Representative Dale Coinga and Democratic State Senator John Erpenbach during this edition, the state budget edition of our Big Question. Many calls, but I promised we would get to transportation funding during this segment. Representative Coinga, what do you think about this idea to borrow $1.3 billion to pay for state roads rather than raise the gas tax or something else?
Yeah, I'm not comfortable with the level of bonding right now, and the Joint Finance Committee will definitely be looking at transportation in a larger sense to see where we should go with that. I mean, we what we have is at the end of a 50-year, 60-year program on our interstates, we're at the end of their lives, and so we just have a lot of projects in the state that need a lot of work. And so we have, the transportation fund is one of the issues that the governor has not engaged on this budget, and it hasn't really provided a fix. And so, you know, we're going to have conversations. I know Speaker Voss is particularly really focused on trying to find solutions for the transportation fund, but there's no doubt about it that this budget doesn't offer a solution to the transportation fund. And we're looking at bonding on the transportation fund, taking about 25 cents on the dollar 2-3 years out. So we got to take some hard look at that. I mean, we could look at cutting some expenses, some within the transportation, but essentially you're talking about millions when the transportation needs are billions. So we got to have a conversation about that, and there's been some ideas thrown out there, and we got to see where we go from there.
What would you like to see happen, Senator Erpenbach?
Well, I'd like to see a fix. Transportation is one of those issues. You'd like to think everything is bipartisan, but transportation should be, you know, not just because there's a left lane and a right lane. It's a situation where we all benefit when we have a strong infrastructure here in the state of Wisconsin, and you know, the governor didn't provide a fix. We need a long-term sustainable revenue stream for transportation to make sure that not only we are able to maintain what we already have here in Wisconsin, but at the same time, making sure that where we do need upgrades, whether it be the interstate system or whether it be state highways, that we're able to do so. So this is something that I really expect that the legislature and the Finance Committee, to both sides of the aisle, to get together and try and figure out a way we can make transportation viable, not, you know, just in this budget, but in budgets to come.
Reed in Clintonville joins us. Hello, Reed.
Yes, good morning. Say a couple of issues. The first one is that Senator Luther Olson, a longtime, well-respected Republican senator here in Wisconsin, has called for the governor to accept these federal monies in regard to Medicare and Medicaid. And perhaps Mr. Coinga is not aware of that, but he perhaps should speak with Senator Luther Olson. I would like to let Mr. Coinga know that though he was speaking of charter schools, perhaps he's not aware that charter schools are public schools, and voucher schools are the schools where your money and my money, tax monies, are going to support private religious institutions that in many cases are failing the students.
Yeah, thank you, Reed. And I'm sorry. I'm glad you called, and I'm guessing Representative Coinga is aware of those two facts.
I am. Let me address the first one. You know, once again, you're going to hear people come back time and time again, accept the money, accept the money. Accepting the money is not going to be the solution. Essentially, what we talked about earlier is those folks are receiving the federal tax credit to buy private insurance. But Senator Erpenbach pointed out, hey, just don't blame Medicaid for your problems. Accept the money. Well, the increase in Medicaid spending in this budget is $663 million. The additional money is $300 million. So even with the difference between that, I mean, you still have over $350 million in difference between additional Medicaid costs. And that will only increase in the future if the percent of federal reimbursement goes down from the 90% where it's left off. So on a charter versus voucher school thing, one of the points where I mentioned the charter school is because I would think that I support vouchers. I support the school choice concept in all different forms. But, you know, looking at charter schools in particular, what's remarkable to me is this is a place that nationally Democrats and Republicans have come together on charter schools and supports for charter schools. But here in Wisconsin, we can't get a single Democrat to support charter schools. And it shouldn't be that way, because it should be bipartisan support for, as he pointed out, these are public schools.
Yeah. Senator Erpenbach?
Well, the $300 million that I talked about in the Medicaid expansion, if we accepted it, certainly would take care of the situation with the UW system, wouldn't it? In the long term, we can opt out of the Medicaid expansion anytime we choose to do so without any penalty whatsoever. We could take it for a couple of years, and then when the exchanges become more affordable for people on the low-income spectrum of things, we can make the transition. We can start up our own exchange here in the state of Wisconsin and make it more fit the what we need here exactly in the state of Wisconsin. Taking the Medicaid expansion isn't the end-all, be-all, but right now when we're looking at the kind of cuts that we are looking at and then turning around and blaming the cost of Medicaid, there is part of a solution right there that we are just completely ignoring because the governor has chosen to do so. The Republican Senate caucus, I know in the last budget cycle, had some very tense discussions about whether they should or should not accept it. I would expect those discussions to happen again this time because we need the money. And that is our money that we send out to Washington, D.C. So, again, you know, whether it's $1 million or $300 million that we're talking about right now by taking the Medicaid expansion, that's money that we need here in the state of Wisconsin right now today. Is it a long, long-term fix? No, but it'll get us through at least the next couple of years.
Yeah, Reid did not get to it, but one of the main reasons he was calling is that he was questioning the priority of borrowing $220 million to help fund a new Milwaukee Bucks arena. And Representative Cuenca, are you okay with that?
Well, those are good questions, and I, you know, principally do not support public funds for a stadium. I think the way the governor put it out there is an interesting concept, making the argument that the NBA has said if you don't have a new stadium, we're pulling the team. And so the governor's approached that from a perspective of saying, well, do we want to have the team stay here and help give back some of the tax revenue, kind of like a TIF for the Bucks. And so we're going to look at that on the merits, and it's one of the many issues in the budget. We're going to hear feedback, and based on the feedback, we'll go from there.
Mm-hmm. Senator Erpenbach?
I think what the governor's put out there as far as the Bradley Center is concerned is a pretty unique idea. Whether it's going to be the final way we go or not remains to be seen. I like the idea of those who are using it directly benefiting from it, helping to pay for it. But it's not just the Milwaukee Bucks that's going to be using that if we end up doing this. Economically, what it means to the region is pretty important. I mean, there's all sorts of acts and outside of professional basketball that come through the Bradley Center. And economically, that means a lot of money to the region. I do think we need to figure out a way to fairly help fund the Bradley Center simply because of what it means to the state of Wisconsin overall. Not just the Milwaukee Bucks, but again, the region. And overall, it says to, you know, whether it be a National Rock and Roll Act or plays or whatever the case may be, come to Wisconsin. You know, we're strong. We have an environment for you to play in. But at the same time, if you're going to, you have to help pay for it.
One item we didn't hear much about, but is in the budget. The governor's budget included some changes affecting the State Department of Natural Resources, amounting to less autonomy for the agency. He requested a 13-year moratorium on new land purchases through the stewardship program, called for the elimination of 66 positions, and recommended disarming the Natural Resources Board of its regulatory authority. Senator Erpenbach, what do you think of that?
I haven't really had an opportunity to take a look at it. Just glancing at the brief last night, it turns like it kind of seems like you're taking the Department of Natural Resources and turning it into the Department of Development. The Department of Natural Resources should not be political by any means. And over the course of the years, whether it be, you know, governors appointing the secretary and so on and so forth, it's become more political, and it shouldn't be. Our state is so unique environmentally, and we have so much to offer environmentally. And that department, their job is to not only deal with the legislation that Dale and I pass and implement the legislation, but also be the stewards and protect our natural resources. And what the governor's proposing makes it more difficult for them to do that. So I would expect that the legislature take a very, very hard look at this. You know, once you dig a hole, once you do that, you can't fill it back up. Once you basically take away protections here in the state of Wisconsin, when it comes to our environment, damages can be done that in some cases are irreversible. So we need to walk very, very slowly through this thing and hopefully reverse some of the governor's suggestions.
Mm-hmm. Representative Coinga?
Yeah, I also haven't had a chance of looking the details in that portion of it, but you know, the DNR over the last 4 years has done a really good job of, you know, protecting our pristine environment, and we're really proud of that. And if you look at the NOLS stewardship, I mean, essentially, we're not saying we're going to sell any land. We're just saying that, as far as the amount of bonding in order to purchase more land, it's not going to be what it was before. And the reason for that is that the interest cost on that bonding is over $1 million a week. And so, once again, going back to priorities, is there a better place for that $1 million a week? You know, we're right now approaching about, I think the number is about 20% of land in Wisconsin is owned by one government or another. And so, you know, I live in Wisconsin for a reason, and one of those reasons is our beautiful natural resources, our lakes and our forest. And so we'll be sure in the budget to make sure that the proper regulatory controls are there and make sure that we protect what we have.
Well, just a brief closing statement from each of you as we wrap up. Senator Erpenbach, what do you want to hear from the public about when it comes to the state budget?
Exactly where their priorities are when it comes to education, when it comes to our environment, when it comes to transportation and you know, everything within the state budget. But, you know, the legislature is going to be forced to make some really, really difficult choices because the governor didn't. We have to make some difficult choices on making sure that transportation is sustainable. We have to make some really, really difficult choices and some sacrifices to make sure that our kids, whether they're going to technical school, whether they're going to UW school or a K-12 public school, that they have every opportunity to receive the best education they possibly can. So there's going to be some really, really heavy lifting that the Republicans and the Democrats will have to do because the governor didn't. So I encourage anybody to make sure that if they have the opportunity to come before the Joint Finance Committee that they do. I know the meetings are going to be long, and I know the testimony will be shortened as far as, you know, time is concerned, but I really encourage people to come to a hearing and let us know what they think.
And last word, same question for you, Representative Coinga.
Forward to working with Senator Erpenbach, and thanks for having me on the show, Joy. I think if you look at this budget, I think there's some really good things to celebrate, and that is if you told people that your property taxes in 2016 will be lower than 2010, that's a remarkable accomplishment. Our rainy day fund is at an all-time high. We have a tuition freeze that makes a college affordable for UW students. We're going to protect our environment. We're going to provide more opportunities for good charter schools and other educational options. Really saving a lot of money with the consolidation department. So there's a lot of things that look good in this budget. There are also things that we need to look at and work towards solutions. I'm looking forward to working with the members of both parties and the Joint Finance Committee on that and listening to the public and making adjustments from there.
Is the hearing schedule set yet?
I think it'll be out shortly.
All right, we'll look for it. Thank you very much to both of you for being with us. Dale Coinga, Republican State Representative from Brookfield, Vice Chair of the Legislature's Joint Finance Committee, and John Erpenbach, a Democratic State Senator from Middleton, who also serves on the Joint Finance Committee, giving us their impressions of Governor Walker's proposed state budget. You can vote online in our online question as to whether or not you generally support or oppose the governor's proposed budget at WPR.org/joy.